Penn Jillette on the big free FM. We're at 866-570-PEN. That's 7366, PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. Sitting here with Michael Goudeau. And you know, on this show, Michael Goudeau, because
yes,
you've been here, I think, just about every
couple
day.
Of days.
Louis Black, Lisa Lampanelli, Howie Mandel, David Brenner, Wendy Lieben, Gilbert Gottfried, Paul Provenza, Bobby Slayton, Carrot Top, Trey Parker are the aristocrats that have been on the show so far and talked to us for a full hour. And now we add the aristocrat who has the distinction of giving us the symbol for the aristocrats. And on top of that was really, we shot at porno ratio. We used more of the stuff that we shot of this man than they use in porno films. Pornos shoot like, you know, 2-1. They only throw away half of it. Drew Carey, who was in here, I think we used every syllable you said on tape. We went to your set. We shot you for 4 minutes. You're in the movie for 4 minutes. It's that simple.
I actually never even told the joke. I explained how to tell the joke.
Exactly.
Never told the joke. And I think I'm the only one in the movie that did not tell the joke.
But we did that great thing with intercutting you with Robin Williams.
Yeah, I told that joke because I said this is a joke that's like the aristocrats.
Yeah.
And then I think that this is my recollection. Robin Williams was on Whose Line, and I think maybe around that time he might have been on Whose Line, and I told him that joke.
You're taking credit for getting the joke.
But we had I know that joke for a long time, and I think I told it to him because we were talking about the aristocrats or something. That's my recollection. I might be wrong. You know those things are.
doesn't matter at all.
Yeah, I killed Joan Bonet.
Now, do you think he's...
I loved her.
Do you think he's just doing that because he's accused of something worse than Thailand? Just wants to get extradited and get over here?
I think he's just a nutbag.
All those flash bulbs. He's a superstar.
I was watching the news about Joan Bonet. It was like all I can watch because that's all the news that was on. Nothing else happened in the world yesterday. And I found out I didn't really care who killed her.
Not at all?
No. I was like, well, you know, she's dead for a long time. The mom's dead. The dad's... Everybody's moved on. Except headline news.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know how that this time in the history can be considered a slow news day.
I don't know.
I mean, there's a lot going on.
I know. A lot going on, and then they have to show these, you know, Joan Bonet prancing around in her cowboy outfit and in the beauty pageants and, you know, getting really serious about the... Nobody even apologizing to the Ramses. That's what... I kept on waiting for somebody to say... Hey, 10 years ago, I said the dad killed his daughter. I apologize.
Well, you know,
this network apologizes.
I just think that, you know, I think it's okay for me as an individual to not know the answer to some of these cases.
It's okay.
People have opinions. You know, if you say to somebody when they say, you know, isn't it awful that OJ got off and he was guilty? I just go, I don't know. I wasn't there that night. I wasn't at the trial. I don't know is this horrible answer that nobody's supposed to give. The fact that you can voice your opinion in this country doesn't mean you have to know everything.
Try being a celebrity. Let me tell you, America. You try being a celebrity nowadays and say you get invited to a movie premiere of a movie you want. Snakes on the Plane. I didn't get to go to the premiere because I was on the road. But if they would invite, I'm sure I could have got an invite. I would love to see Snakes on the Plane at the big world premiere. Can't wait to see it. And God help the celebrity who doesn't have an answer for everything when you're going on that carpet, when you're getting interviewed by people. If you don't have to, you know, what do you think about whatever's in the news that day, they ask you, right?
Yeah.
What do you think about this stupid thing? And if you don't have an answer, they look at you like you just ruined their day.
Yeah.
And it's like almost you're like obligated to have an opinion. And I think saying, I don't know, or I don't care, or it doesn't matter to me because I got nothing to do with that family is a fine answer.
As far as I know, it wasn't me who killed her.
Yeah, I actually blew off a... boy, it's weird. I thought we could talk about anything, right?
Yeah.
At the Aristocrats premiere, I blew off a People magazine reporter. It was there was not a lot of... the red carpet was like a red throw rug. There wasn't really a lot of... wasn't that long of a red carpet. And so it was only like a 5-interview thing, you know?
Yeah.
And the woman from People magazine, first thing she says... is not, hey, what about the movie, or what do you think of the movie? First thing she says is, we're doing a special Emmy Award issue. And I go, I don't care about the Emmys. And she goes, well, it's about anything you want to talk about, because I really don't care. I don't think of them, don't have anything to do with them, don't want to know about them, I think they're wrong. And she goes, well, it's not really about that. I go, well, if you want to talk about anything else, she goes, well, no. So I said, okay, fine. And that was the last fight. Put her off until then. And then I sat. There was like a little planted tree right across the carpet in that little thing where we were. So I sat there on top of the little tree thing right across from her. And she finally, after a minute, she's just like looking really, you know, PO'd, you know. And she looks up and she goes, "It's not about the Emmys." And I go, "Fine, okay." And I get up and I walk over. I go, "What's your question?" She goes, "If you could be any TV show cat," I go, "Stop it." I went, "Oh, honey." That's exactly what I said. "Oh, honey. This is how you make a living?"
Yeah, well, that's what they do. They,
now, one thing about the movie.
Go.
At the premiere.
Yeah.
The least you could do is ask, like, "Hey, how was it working with,
you know,
how did you come up with the..."
Well, you've got a subject right there, which is the movie that you're in.
Yeah. And I was like, "Well, just forget it." But they really ask you the most inane question. And one of the things is, like, if you're a celebrity and you went to a movie premiere this weekend or caught something, I know they asked you about JonBenet and you had to have an opinion. "Oh, I feel bad for the Ramses." It was like it's showing on E! And fill up 24 hours, you know.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, it's just all this, all the information they have to fill up. What have you been doing since the sitcom's over? I've been doing that a lot.
Nothing much, man. I'm into soccer lately the last few years. I started going to soccer games, mm-hmm. and I started doing photography, sports photography. So I've been doing that. And that's been really fun. I actually went to the World Cup in Germany and shot. There's a friend of mine. I got to be friends with one of the photographers, and I kind of work for him. He has a small wire service that he runs with his wife out of his house. And they sell soccer pictures, and he's like the official photographer for a couple of colleges, and he buys my pictures and sells my pictures actually through his.
So you crawl around with your camera?
Yeah, I sit on the sidelines and with my big lens and shoot sports.
You're gonna do stand up again?
Yeah, I'm doing stand up. I'm starting to get into that more. I got about 15, 20 minutes now. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get an hour together by next year.
And you're doing the improv thing here at the...
Why I'm here right in Vegas, actually. Yeah. I'm working at the Luxor.
The Luxor?
And yeah, the Lux part stands for luxurious.
And or?
It's really nice, but, you know, it's like a giant pyramid, right?
And, yes, imagine a pyramid in the desert.
A square. So... you would think it'd be easy to get around it since it's a square. Like, oh, there's only four sides, but then it's like you don't know where the hell you are when you're in that place.
And if you're above a certain height, you can't be in the rooms without banging your head. If you go over to the window.
Really?
Yeah. If you go over to the window, they're designed, I guess, you know, like most things, they're designed for up to 6'3 or 6'4.
How tall are you?
I'm 6'6. Oh. So you go over to look out the window and bang, bang, bang every time.
That'll teach you to look out.
Exactly.
When you're in Vegas?
Yeah. Maybe it's only certain floors.
What are you looking outside for when you're in Vegas?
Exactly.
Only certain floors.
Go gamble.
You're in a casino. They don't want you in the room.
Go gamble.
Only certain floors.
And you touring around with this, or is this just a one off?
Touring around. Like, we do shows every once in a while. Last fall, we went on a big, like, for like 3 months, we toured, you know, and like every week we were gone just about, and only home for a few days a week. That was really fun. And then that's when I thought, like, I didn't know what I wanted to do, and I thought, oh, I like being on stage and I like doing stand up. So after Germany, after the World Cup, I did a show for the Travel Channel too while I was out there, and I did, you know, I went to Montreal, did the comedy festival, and, you know, like, I'm getting back into it again. I'd like to go out on my own and, you know, get an hour together. That was killer. But that takes a long time. You know, it's like saying you want to write a novel. Yeah. You know, that you want to write an hour worth of really good stand-up material that you're willing to call your own. It's not like you can't just whip it together, or it just sounds like you whipped it together and it's bad. You know, I have trouble enough with 20 minutes, you know.
Now, you were working really hard. You were doing your situation comedy, and you were doing Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah.
You were doing everything else. And then you stopped. Did you like that? I mean, this is not the question for the radio. This is a personal question. What do I look forward to if I stop, Drew?
Yeah, I kind of liked it, but I was thinking about, like, I was like, oh, Penn's got a radio show. I wonder why he would do that. And then I think, oh, you always want to be doing something.
Yeah.
You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Yeah.
You don't want to be just sitting around counting money.
Yeah.
Even though you could. So I think, well, you know, I got dabbled in photography and I dabbled in this and that. And I thought, well, I just don't want to be bored. I'm in my 40s, you know, and I want to just... I got a lot of years left, I hope. You know, I got to find something to do and some way to...
Now, are you still in that? I went to the when they banned smoking and things. Are you still a libertarian nut? I saw you on the cover.
I've just been emailing David Nutt all last week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
and you're still the same.
About the evil drug war that's taking on someone. It's ridiculous, right?
Well, you know, I don't think there's anything we can disagree on here, because you're hardcore libertarian.
Pretty hardcore,
right?
Yeah. I remember I was really surprised when he came to the Barney's Beanery for the smokeout.
Yeah.
And Jacob Solomon was there, the guy that wrote the book about the at the smoking book. And I saw you were there, and I couldn't believe it. And I was like, what are you doing here? And you go, the quote was something like, I'm a believer in freedom, brother. Lighten up.
No one hates cigars more than me.
I hate cigars.
I just hate them. And, you know, I don't smoke cigarettes. I never had a drink in my life. I've never smoked even a puff of dope. And yet I'm you know, always, you know, normal in those guys. I'm always sending them money and going, you know, the drug war is insane.
It's insane. You know, I don't like, it's like a waste of taxpayer money. It doesn't do any good. There's thousands and thousands of people in jail right now that don't need to be in jail.
Well, half the people. I mean, you can just round it off.
It ruins communities. It gives gangs power.
Well, that's the thing that bothers me the most, is what you do is you automatically make bad people rich. It's what Prohibition did, you know?
Yeah.
It makes really bad people rich. If those people had to compete with McDonald's, you know, they would not be bad people. McDonald's doesn't shoot people at Burger King. You know?
No.
And,
but they, I mean, you can't, yeah, but if you made burgers illegal.
Exactly.
They would be.
Then it would be different people running it.
Yeah, if you said, you know, these burgers kill people.
Well,
and it's,
we are saying that, aren't we?
Yeah, but, and if, and, you know, it's really bad for you. It shortens your life. It shortens your attention span, having all that fat in you. Yeah. You know, it makes it harder to do schoolwork. And it's well known that people that overeat don't succeed as well as people that exercise and eat healthy every day. All the excuses they use for pot and meth and everything, then, you know, McDonald's would be shooting people from Burger King if they were trying to sell burgers on their corner.
Well, I mean, how far do you go? I mean, do you go almost to anarcho-capitalist?
Legalize everything.
Everything.
Yeah. Every drug. And honestly, you have to take the opinion.
And prescription drugs as well? That's where it gets really hard for me. That's where I don't know enough about it.
Well, I'm not going to go grabbing drugs that I haven't consulted with my doctor about before I throw them
out. Right, but I mean, do you want people to be able to walk into a pharmacy and buy anything?
Oh, Lipitor?
Yeah, Lipitor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too. The only problem you have with that is there are certain antibiotics that become useless if enough people use them. I mean, penicillin has lost a lot of its power because of overuse.
Really?
Yeah. So you do have that problem. But I'm willing to trade in that power for freedom.
Well, you know, you have to realize, the thing is, when you have that kind of freedom, if you say to somebody, listen, meth is legal, coke is legal, and you can buy it at the drugstore and take it if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it used to be here.
Yeah.
When the country was growing and great and industrious and no harm done, you know, we became this great superpower with people
Coca-Cola.
Buying...
Coca-Cola.
Yeah, people bought joints at the drugstore. People bought loose joints at the corner store. Cocaine was in Coca-Cola. You could buy it anywhere, and it didn't seem to matter to the industriousness of the country and the inventiveness of the country. So, but you have to tell people, listen, don't come crying to me when you become a crackhead. You have to take responsibility for any bad thing you put in your body. And I'm telling you that meth is bad. If you put it in your body, you're in for some trouble probably. But do it if you want to. We're not going to throw you in jail if you want to try it. We're not going to criminalize you, you know, like alcohol. You know, alcohol in great quantities is bad. You become an alcoholic, you can't work, you lose your family. But we don't throw you in jail for drinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go to rehab, or you do like President Bush, went to rehab and got help.
Now, do you think as lots a libertarian that rehab should be funded by the government?
Well, no, but it would be better than if they were putting people in jail.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if you wanted to make a compromise, a political compromise with Congress people, whoever, you know, decides they want to run your life, why don't you spend this money instead of sending soldiers to Colombia to burn crops and, you know, and fund all these narco wars that we have going on? Why don't you spend it on, you know, fund or privately fund rehab places?
Well, privately, it seems like, you know, you have so many famous alcoholics and drug addicts that have so much money that they would fund that privately very quickly.
They should, yeah, and people should be able to go get help. It should be not be, you shouldn't throw people in jail for having it, you know.
But we also don't know how to help them. I mean, we did a whole show on bulls hit about AA.
Don't get me started about the FCC, man.
We'll get you started about the FCC if you want. Now, which part of the unconstitutionality of that bothers you the most? We're going to try to find something to argue about, okay?
Yeah. Well,
so what part of it being unconstitutional troubles you the most, Drew? Is it the fact that they said that the reason that the airwaves were so precious was that there was fewer radio stations than there were newspapers, and now there isn't a city that I can think of in this country that has fewer radio stations than newspapers?
It's insane that people think if they hear a word, the word you were not allowed to say just now, or you get, oh, you have to pay a huge fine, that there's a government agency that can come down so hard on you as to put you out of business.
Yeah, it's great. And also that you have that, and you can't blame, you know, this is the thing that drives me nuts, you know, the people who are on the air who blame the bosses and the radio stations and so on, they're just trying to make a living.
Right.
And the rules come down, and the rules are insane, and they have been, they won't make a set of rules. I mean, if the FCC actually said, here's what you can say, here's what you can't say, here are the rules, it would be that much better.
The FCC should be saying, hey, this is how much we're going to charge to get on the airwaves. Here's your license, stamp, and that's all they should do.
And everything else takes care of itself.
Everything else takes care of themselves. When Janet Jackson bared her nipple at the Super Bowl, that was a Sam Simon, my friend Sam Simon, brought it up. He said that was the perfect example of the free market at work. Because the government didn't need to step in with anything.
Right.
Because people were watching, were like, hey, we don't want to see that. And what was it on Fox, right, that had MTV produce the show? They were like, whoa, hey, MTV's never going to produce another Super Bowl show. We're sorry. Justin Timberlake apologized.
Uh-huh.
Everybody said, oh, man, that was a big mistake. We apologize. It'll never happen again. Next year, we're going to have Pat Boone and the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. You know, it's going to be super family with Marie Osmond's going to sing.
But you know,
and they didn't have to do what the government didn't have to fine anybody. They didn't have to do a thing except let the market work. Mm-hmm. People said, hey, we don't want to see that. And these stations, which have every right to control what kind of station they are, said, fine, we're not going to show it to you on Fox next time we have the Super Bowl.
Right.
And that's all they needed to do. But the FCC wants to come in, and the government wants to come in, and they want to get their FaceTime, and they want to say, hey, we're protecting America, so we're going to fine these people and punish them. The market already worked.
Yeah.
Perfect. Shut up.
Perfectly worked.
And if you have a radio station, if you don't want to hear these certain words, then don't listen to the radio station.
It's easy, and they're punished, instantly punished.
What if I'm dialing around and my kid's in the car? Well, don't dial around with your kid.
Talk to the kid.
Yeah.
That's a possibility. You could use whatever language you want.
Yeah, and I'm for, like, if you like blocking technology on TV, good.
As long as it's not mandatory.
As long as it's not mandatory, but you can have a TV with a blocker. I don't want my kid to see this or see this violence or fine.
But we're going to talk about, we're going to take
don't
a break.
Make everybody else suffer.
We're going to take a break and talk about if they can edit shows afterwards. Do you think they can do that? You know about that thing?
Oh,
we'll talk about that later.
Stuff, yeah.
This is Penn Jillette with Drew Carey and Michael Gaudeau, 866-570-PEN. Although we don't seem to be taking calls, we're going to be talking to each other. We'll be back after this. Gillette on the Almost Free FM with Michael Gaudeau, and we're sitting here with Drew Carey, who, if you are in Vegas listening to this, just jog on over to the Luxor tonight and see the big improv show that Drew is hosting, and you also do stuff.
So. I do a little stand-up up front, about 10 minutes worth, and then we do improv.
And I was gonna ask you about the movies that re-edit the movies to take out all the
wrong.
Yeah.
You can't. Somebody made a movie. It's out. That's it. You're not allowed to take somebody else's. You can't get a hold of, Venus de Milo and say, oh, my God, her breasts are bare, and chip them off.
Yes, you can. If you own it outright.
You can buy a Picasso.
You can buy the Picasso.
You can own it.
You can then take your little finger painting set, and you can do whatever you want over it.
Right.
But you got to own every single bit of it.
Right.
And these people do not own Taxi Driver.
Right. And you can't say, oh, I'm going to take all the copies that I've I'm distributing a Taxi Driver at my rental store.
Yeah.
I'm going to edit out all the dirty parts so you can watch 10 minutes of Taxi Driver.
Now, you told me during the break that you were Pentecostal.
I used to be Pentecostal when I was in...
Oh, used to be! Because I thought we had something to argue about.
No. I forget how religion came up or somewhere. We were
how does that come up?
Having a thing and then... you talk about your nanny and whatever. And then, I used to be Pentecostal when I was 13, I got saved.
In Ohio?
Yeah, Columbus, Ohio, actually. That's where it happened.
And how did you get sucked in, or how did you get enlightened? I don't want to act like I'm being too
judging.
I don't want to be leaning too much.
A friend of mine from my school, that they said, hey, we're going to a youth group thing. You want to come with us? And I went, sure, fine. So I went down with his family. And
you're like 13, right?
Yeah, they're very nice. Yeah, 13, around 13. And they had a service, and it was very powerful. And they asked if anybody wanted to be saved to come on up to the front, and I did, and I got saved. And it was, I have to say...
What were your parents like in this? I mean, because sometimes...
It was just my mom. My dad died when I was really young, so I just had it was just me and my mom living at home. She was a single mom, and all my brothers are all graduated from high school and gone from the house, so it was just me and her in the house. So she was like, I came home, I remember coming home, and go, Mom, I got saved. I accepted Jesus Christ. Oh, really? And you know, my mom was always like, if I was happy, she was okay.
So this is the real deal, right? This is people like dancing and screaming.
Yeah,
and...
this is the Jimmy Swaggart deal.
Yeah.
You know, and it's honestly, it was. I've been talking about this a lot lately. I don't know why. I'm sure it'll come to something. I don't know why this is brought. It's like one of these things.
You'll be hearing all these tapes in hell.
Yeah.
Played over and over again.
No such thing, but yeah, thank
you. it's come up to a lot of people.
It was very...
religion's becoming more and more important in this.
No, but I don't know why this, like, these thoughts of the day I got saved and all this stuff. This has been coming up in conversation a lot, like, in the last month.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it'll become clear to me why. But, it was a very powerful experience. Mm-hmm. I have to say that. And, you know, they talk about, you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit and feeling this energy. And you do feel like an energy and a thing go through you. And, you know, I don't know what the physiological reasons for this thing is. But all that talking in tongues and stuff, if you let yourself go and get emotional, it's kind of true.
Did you do glossolalia?
Xenolalia? Talked in tongues, fell down, you know, cried like a, you know, bawled my eyes out. There was like people supporting me. And it was very, very emotional and had a major effect on my life.
Really?
For the longest time. Yeah, like we were talking about every time, like when you're the word for it, the common word for it that everybody knows, it starts with an M. I just found out that we're not supposed to say on this free radio station.
Exactly.
On this free FM station. That's where the FCC is crazy. People are so scared of the government. The government is not the people. The government is a separate thing that's against the people. They're so afraid of this government entity that you can't say a common word for self-pleasure that everybody knows and everybody uses, because if it offends one out of 1,000 people, that's enough to shut the whole thing
down.
One out of 1,000?
What are you talking about?
One out of 10,000.
One
out of 100,000.
With the Janet Jackson thing, it was almost one out of 1,000,000. It was, you know, it was fewer than 1,000 people that wrote those letters.
Right.
Astonishing. I mean, astonishing.
Really astonishing.
Yeah.
And then, you know... You know, you go over to Europe and you see bare breast in a commercial.
But, you know, I get nuts about this because I don't like people saying, you know, over in Europe they're cooler about this, because they're not. 300 or 400 people wrote letters, and then Hollywood acted like, you know, oh, there's these evil red states, they're doing all this. And the truth is, most of the country, the vast majority, the people don't care.
They don't care.
The people are for freedom. And that's the part that always has to be
removed. Yeah, that red state, blue state thing drives me nuts, too.
I hate that.
No such thing.
No such thing whatsoever. Because you promised to God. I mean, it could not be more powerful. You've made a promise to God that you will not do this. And then, let me just be psychic for a second, you still did it.
Yeah, I was 13.
Yeah, of course. You had no choice.
That's all I thought about all day.
Yeah, you could. When someone drops a pencil, you do it.
Yeah, it's committing adultery in your heart. When you...
damn straight.
Adultery is a sin. And if you think about having sex with another woman that you're not married to, it's committing adultery in your Remember that Jimmy Carter interview? And they, like, you know, they had these hotlines you could call if you were having trouble with sin.
Oh, man. How much would you like to man those? Huh?
I would love to.
And you're how old? and what are you wearing when the devil's coming into?
Love it.
Tell it slow.
I feel like pleasuring myself, but I can't say the name of it because I don't know. What was this called? Free FM?
Yeah, exactly. Precisely.
You got to be kidding.
So, I mean, are there any...
Gots to be kidding.
Are there any lasting...
I don't know what to do. And he goes, well, you can't do it. You're going to go to hell. He flat out told me.
Oh, man. But, I mean, are there scars from that? I mean, when you're having sex now, do you have to, like, dress up with a cross around your neck? Or do you have to yell stuff or say, call me a bad boy? Or...
No, now it's okay. But, like, you know, you talk about...
Are you still good at talking in tongues? Is that an impressive thing that you...
Every night at the Luxor.
Exactly.
Anything improv is, man.
And how'd you lose? How'd you lose the Pentecostal thing? How'd that go away?
I backslid. Mm-hmm. You know, that's when you suddenly sin and don't care.
Yeah. Now, the really interesting
thing. You know, by the time I got out of high school and college, I was kind of like, I drifted further and further away because, you know, and when I was in high school, my friends used to show me National Lampoon's Photo Funnies. Remember when National Lampoon was a funny magazine?
Oh, yeah.
And was good and meant something, and it wasn't just putting up crappy movies, this entity that you couldn't even... Like, if we got together and decided to save the National Lampoon brand now, we wouldn't even bother.
Exactly.
It's worthless, right?
Yeah, worthless.
So, you know, the... But my friends, National Lampoon used to be the coolest, hippest humor magazine back in the 70s when I was in high school. And my friends used to show me the Photo Funnies because it had a woman's... They used to have bare-breasted women.
Didn't she have great, great, great breasts? There was one woman that just was
the blonde chick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they would show me. They would, hey, Drew, look. And I would get embarrassed and, like, don't show me that because it was bad. Sinful.
But, you know, one thing I've read several places, I'm not sure the numbers back this up, but people who become religious very often in a huge, dramatic event.
That was me.
And people who lose religion do it very slowly over a long period of time. And I don't even know if you ever said this aloud, because I don't know the answer to this question, but was there a first time when you said you were an atheist, or you didn't believe in God, or you didn't believe in any of that? Was that hard the first time?
No. I've never said it. I always believe there's a spiritual force.
Okay. So you haven't gone all the way yet, Drew. We're waiting for you. We're right over here, Drew. We're right over here. The final way to hell.
Well,
get on the ship. It's okay. We don't do anything over here but pleasure ourselves 24/7, Drew. Come on. We're waiting for you.
There's no such thing as eternal hell, damnation. That's
okay. Good.
That's from Dante's Inferno.
Mm-hmm.
It's not from the Bible.
Right. This the idea Bible's wrong anyway.
This idea of a I know, but people that claim to believe in the Bible believe that there's this fiery pitchfork.
There's no one
thing.
Who believes in the Bible who's read it all the way through.
Nobody.
I've read it. Can make you less spiritual and less religious than reading the Bible. I recommend it to everyone.
Satan is a constant reinvention, an invention and reinvention of societies to describe their enemies and to describe things they don't. They call it Satan, Beel, whatever they call it, and that's what they name it all the time. It's mythology.
Bad bone.
It's a mythology, Satan. There's no such thing as this evil God.
But why are you separating mythology from the Bible?
I'm not.
Okay, good.
But, you know, but there is, I don't think God is a guy in the clouds with a white beard that you're separate for. I believe that there's, I mean, we're all an energy together and, you know.
And you still have to call that God.
Well, I got to call it something. What are you going to call it?
How about an energy?
We'll call it an energy then.
But okay, we'll be back deciding what we're going to call energy. Okay,
it's undeniable that that's there.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that during the break, and I'll kick your ass. We'll be back after this. Free FM, Petulette, Drew Carey, Michael Goudeau. Hey, yeah, this is Penn Jillette back here. We're talking to Drew Carey. Michael Godot's here. Mike Godot hasn't said anything, as often the case.
I've tried.
You've tried.
I have tried. It's
I thought
useless.
You were here to make notes and stuff.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, today. He'll look up stuff if we want it.
Get the chairman of the FCC to come on this show and explain why it is such a bad thing that America why America can't hear these words. What is so bad about them that America is going to rhyme? Ask the chairman of the FCC to come on this show and explain why you can't say that word, or somebody's going to call it. What's the harm?
I don't understand even the argument. You know, when you're talking about Pentecostal religion, I understand that argument completely. You know, that there is a God, he's done this. I understand the creationist. I understand the argument completely. I don't understand the argument of the FCC.
I don't
understand what they think would happen. I don't know the bad side. And I can defend the creationist point of view completely. I can't defend this.
The FCC is an arm of the government. The government does not care about the people. They care about people that donate to political parties.
Yeah.
That's what the FCC is about. The FCC is about pleasing a minority of people that donate money, that complain the loudest.
But you're not, I think that the problem is not money. The problem is, you know, all this stuff that's supposed to limit the amount of money people can give leaves the rich people from being able to go up against the government. I think we really should have Bill Gates giving $1 billion to someone to run, and then the other side just says, you know, he's just Bill Gates' puppet,
right?
And that's fine. It can all be out in the open.
It's all out in the open, and nobody's that stupid.
Yeah.
They know if Bill Gates, if it was all transparent, we could say, oh, Bill, as long as it wasn't hidden,
we could say,
Bill Gates has given this guy $1 billion. Bill Gates is going to control him. We could say, oh, yeah, you're right, and vote him down.
Yeah, or you could say, he's done a better job than the president, you know.
We don't have enough time.
So are you going to do...
We do not have enough time to complain.
What do you do? What do you do politically? I mean, have you ever considered... Doug Stanhope, you know, is making noises about running. You know, running.
Doug Stanhope?
Yeah.
Running for what?
Running for, like, president, I think.
What?
But not like he doesn't want to do it
Doug
like...
Doug Stanhope?
Yeah, Doug Stanhope. You know, and he's speaking out in a very libertarian point of view. Like, they always have the nuts. But do you do anything politically, actively at all?
No, I donate money to the Reason Foundation, mm-hmm. You know, like everybody does, like every good person should.
And Cato, too? You're a Cato person?
Yeah. I like getting the free magazines. I have so many stuff I get from that that's, like, even unopened, like, stuff from the Cato. I don't even have time to read it.
I know, but it's great stuff. Once you read one thing, you become, anything you get from Cato, you read the whole thing, and you become... at any party you go to.
Yeah, in Hollywood especially.
Because you know about a subject. And knowing about a subject is the worst thing you can do to hang out with people.
Try being a libertarian in Hollywood, man.
Yeah, I know. Well, just so you know, it's cato.org. Yeah. Might as well give them a plug while we're at it. And is it reason.org, too? I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's either reason.org or reasonmagazine.org.
If you want to be a lot less popular. Now, me, I am a teetotaling atheist libertarian. So you can't find a party in Hollywood that I can go to that people go, hey, let's talk about this, Pat. We agree with everything.
You get a lot of eye rolls.
Yeah, a lot of eye rolls.
You know, because I know that the Democrats and the Republicans both want to control me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not two separate parties to me. It's the same people that want to control me in different ways.
Yeah.
And you say that to people, and they roll their eyes like, oh, well, here's... I got to think for a minute. I'm having a cocktail. I'm having my Appletini. Why do I have to even talk to this person?
Yeah, it's the idea that it's people like you that made it so Kerry isn't our president, because Kerry wouldn't have done any of this. And he just got, I don't mean, of course, Drew.
Please. Please. They're all the same.
Exactly the same.
They're
no
exactly the same. They want to control you.
Well, P.J. O'Rourke had a wonderful thing where he said he was speaking. He's speaking to a libertarian group, and he said everybody in this room is connected by one thought: we don't know what's best. Everybody in the Democrats and the Republicans, they know what's best for people. We don't know.
I know what's best.
Freedom.
I know what's best for me. I don't know what's best for you.
I'm not even sure I know what's best for me, but I know where I want to try.
Right, and but it's not my job to tell you, hey, like, if it was up to me, Paris Hilton would be dead. You know, her publicist would be dead. There's a lot of things that would change in this, but it's not up to me. If you want to like Paris Hilton, that's your business. I pity you. But I'm not gonna run and pass a law because I think liking Paris Hilton's a bad thing and nobody should do it. And I decided this is what's good for everybody. And 300 million people almost live in this country. I know what's best for all of you.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, break.
But you're not gonna take all that Drew Carey Show money and try to get like-minded people to
Come
have
on.
A voice.
Run
I mean, you're
for
a
president.
Really good talker. All that stuff. You could at least be talking about this. And you got the coin. You could go around and just throw in little speeches.
I've been talking to some that guy David Knott about a couple things.
Uh-huh. Good.
But you know, I'll tell you, I don't want to jinx him. So I'll tell
okay. Because we need someone speaking out for libertarianism who's superstitious enough to not want to jinx things.
But, I mean, you know, I got no show in the air anymore. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't come. I only got to fill a 1,000-seat theater when I'm doing my improv shows. You know, I can say anything and get...
Well, yeah, I'm going to ask you about that. You know the porn convention that's here in Vegas?
The AVN Awards?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were 2 years in a row or 3 years in a row that I ran into you there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And then 1 year I went... And a guy, this is the best place to get your information from a guy at a porno booth, okay? This is where I don't trust the news media, but a guy, you know, a guy surrounded by fully cantilevered women all around him.
Fully cantilevered women.
He came over and said to me, what's up with your friend Drew? And I said, Drew Carey? He said, yeah, what's up with your friend Drew? I said, well, I know him and I respect him, but we don't call each other every day. He said, he doesn't come here anymore because the Drew Carey Show is going to go into syndication.
They told him he couldn't come here anymore.
Is that the reason?
No.
So now you get a chance to answer back
why
to
do
a
people,
guy.
Why do
in a
people
booth?
Put A, B, and C together like that in their own head when it's not even true? Maybe I'm busy in January sometimes. Like, I don't feel like. The Drew Carey Show was on the air. I walked through, looking for my friend Marco. I walked through that whole part of the convention floor with a guy with a Sony camera behind me, recording my remove, saying hi to people, signing autographs. I didn't care.
When you had a Situation Comedy on the air, were you ever, other than your haircut and not getting tattoos in your face, did you ever feel like you couldn't do certain things?
No. No, I've always been pretty open about it. Like, I get, you know, people always, you know, strip club loving Drew Carey. I always get the strip club loving thing. I've been to a strip club about as much as any other guy has been to a strip club. You know what I mean? And, I just have admitted it.
But wasn't that also part of your success? I mean, I don't think there's anybody,
it has been.
There is nobody famous that I have met that is more, completely themselves and more relaxed and straightforward than you. I think I can say
I
that.
Try to be, you know what I mean?
I think I can say that. It's amazing. And when people would ask me about you, you know, like they'd say, you were on the show a couple of times, I would say, if you had a choice, whoever I was talking to, I'd say, if you had a choice of who could be famous and a lot of money on a TV, you would pick Drew Carey.
Oh, God bless you.
I said, there's a lot of other people that you just go, why did this rat... bastard, why doesn't he just choke on someone else's vomit?
Yeah.
You know, just but I, you know, because I knew you a little bit before the big show hit, and we first went on the show, I said to tell her, the thing is not amazing that Drew Carey's a nice guy and straightforward and polite and honest. That's not amazing at all. That's the way everybody should be. Why are there so many bastards around?
It seems
so easy to be you.
It's easy to be me. Well, you know, I realized that early on, because you think when you first start to get famous, you think, oh my God, I should watch what I say. I should be careful about, and then I think, man, you can't, somebody's going to, like, the one thing people hate is a hypocrite. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't mind if you're Jimmy Swaggart. But if you're Jimmy Swaggart getting caught with a hooker,
well, you know, hypocrisy.
Then you're a hypocrite. That's what they hate.
Hypocrisy is something I don't like to bust. Because anybody who's hypocritical, I figure I agree with them on one of their positions. So it's better. I mean, Jimmy Swaggart.
Got a 50-50 chance with a hypocrite.
Jimmy Swaggart, the good thing he did was being with a hooker. I'm cool with that, you know? It's the other stuff that's bad. So, you know, I always wondered about that. But, you know, that straightforward thing, you can do it.
Well, you know, I do it so I don't get people mad at me. Because you don't want to be, you know... you just don't want to be perceived as. I'd rather be honest with people. It's so much easier to do. You don't have to think about what story you told or.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's so much more effort. And
the chances of you getting drunk and ranting about the Jews are pretty low.
Pretty low.
Yeah.
Who are you?
I know.
It's the first time you piped up the whole show.
Well, you know, when you get with Melvin Gibstein, he always has an opinion.
Yeah.
Melvin Gibstein.
Has there been things that have come out in the press that you've said, oh, I wish I didn't say that, that you disagree with now?
I put my foot in my mouth all the time. I just did an interview with a woman from the New York Times about a... she's doing a profile about a Muslim soldier,
mm-hmm.
and about how tough it is nowadays to be a Muslim soldier. You know,
yeah. And they called you.
Yeah, because
Drew Carey needs to have an opinion on that.
He saw me in, I think it was in Saudi or one of my USO tours somewhere over in Iraq or Saudi Arabia or whatever, and I did a. He says he remembers very clearly. Oh, okay, he remembers very clearly me doing a joke where I got down on my knees and bowed to Mecca,
uh-huh.
like as a joke, which he found really offensive, and everybody was laughing at. And that's one of the first times he realized, oh, you know, nobody likes me because I'm a Muslim. Uh-huh. And she brought this up to me, and I was like, oh boy, I don't even remember doing that. Cause it's all improv, you know. And I go, mm-hmm. if I did it, I'm really sorry. And then I told her. Other times I've put my foot in my mouth and said things that I wish I hadn't said and offended people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do it all the time. I'm a comic. I can't help but every time I go on stage, I keep on waiting to get a call from Paris Hilton one day because I slam her every night. I have a little chunk of material. One of the jokes is, you know, I heard that the Paris Hotel is named after her. It's a Hilton Hotel Corporation. Yeah. So the Paris Casino in Vegas, I heard, was called named after her. It's called the Paris because they couldn't call it the whore. And I used whore because the word I want to use, I'm not allowed to say.
Uh-huh. Now, you know, she's only had sex with three men in her life.
Is that what she said?
That's what she says. She says she does kissing otherwise. She's kissed a lot of men, but only three men she's had sex with. But what I really feel good about is you're talking about Paris Hilton.
I'm killing myself, man. That's all I understood. My life is over. I'm going to kill myself.
Three men. And are you on that list? Is that why you have that?
No.
Did you make her dress up as a Pentecostal priest?
Three men that she knows of. Three men that she can remember.
Three men to keep track of. So we might see something political out of Drew Carey?
Why don't you have a show once? You should have everybody that you know that call anonymously that's had sex with Paris Hilton can call you.
Oh, that's a great idea.
If you've had sex with Paris Hilton, because I've met musicians and whatnot that have had sex with her.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Did they enjoy it?
They admitted it. In a way that people admit that they've, you know, ate the worm in a bottle of tequila. Or no, not even that, because that's not like a really proud thing. I remember the one guy looking at me goes, I had sex with Paris once. Like that. And he just, you know, it's like you admitted this dirty secret, you know, at the blackjack table.
Yeah. Well,
you know?
I don't know. I think it gives you, what is life besides trying to get good stories? And isn't having sex with Paris Hilton a good story? If you had done that, would you be telling a story right now?
I don't know if I want anybody to know.
What do you mean you wouldn't want anybody to
know?
Yeah,
see, this is the thing. What do I care what she does?
Exactly.
It doesn't matter.
There's nothing wrong. She's having fun.
Yeah,
it's your Pentecostal roots coming out. Yeah. And I cannot believe that Drew Carey has done the impossible and gotten me to defend Paris Hilton. You rat bastard. You trapped me with your wily ways. Drew Carey on the Ben Jillette Show on Free FM, where he said that word twice after being disgusted he couldn't say it. Shows up. Thank you, Drew.
Oh, thank you.